and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support, where we have been sharing all the awesome since 2013, I believe. I'm Mel, at Karmic9 on Twitter sometimes, and sometimes from other places. And surprisingly enough, back again, despite my erratic schedule, is Kelly.
Hi everybody, this is Kelly Tuhl, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. On Twitter a lot more than Mel, but I have been seeing Mel on there, here and there, lately, which is exciting.
I've been trying.
It's always good. It's a challenge. There's many hashtag games to be played, though.
Yeah, I need to try those. I always miss when they start, and then I feel like I'm coming in, you know, after it had its moment, you know? So I'm just a tag along at that point.
Yeah, I think you got room. I mean, because they'll end up on a lot of them end up on the trending topics, ones that have been popular for a while. And at midnight, Chris Hardwick's show seems to be a machine for generating some very popular ones. But there's no wrong time to play a hashtag game as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. I'll try to remember that and jump in. Though I'm just not very clever, so, you know, there's that. But I have a recommendation this week that is occasionally clever. This is a new website to me. It's not new. It's been around for, I think, at least several years. But during one of my very brief visits to Twitter lately, one of the authors that I follow, Stephen Blackmore, tweeted out a link to a new book of his it's not a new book of his. It's new on this website. This website is called graphicaudio.net, and I've talked a lot about listening to audiobooks and reading books. I like to read, but I also listen to more audiobooks these days than I ever have in the past, probably because I've gotten more hobbies and I need to have my ears do some of the work. But this website, basically, they're not doing traditional audiobooks with just a narrator who's reading you the story. They actually, their byline is a movie in your mind, and they take all of these different books, stories, and they adapt them for the way that they record an audiobook. They have a cast. They have full music. They have sound effects. It's really very cool, and I was really very impressed. So I listened to City of the Lost by Stephen Blackmore. It's actually, I think, one of his first books that was put out. It's actually sort of a precursor to one of my previous recommendations, his Eric Carter series. It's in the same world, but it's not related. You don't have to have read Eric Carter to understand what's going on in this book. And I was really very impressed. I'd always meant to read that book, but I just hadn't gotten around to the time. Since it was newly released on this one, I decided, hey, I'm going to grab it and listen to it. And I was really, really impressed by the quality of the production that they're doing. All of the effort that's gone into all of these. And for all of that, for an audiobook, they're not very expensive. A lot of times when you're going and you're buying books on CD, things like that, you're paying $20 to $30 a lot of times for audiobooks. Now, I've said before, I'm a member on Audible and have been for basically since Audible started a long time ago. So I have a lot of credits that I have banked at Audible, and that tends to be where I get most of my audiobooks. The books over at graphicaudio.net run about $13.99 for most of the books. They actually have some shorter ones that are in a part of the menu called Little Bites, which are some of the short stories a lot of authors have put out in their world. And you can get those for, I think, about $3.99. And if you're a fan of Peter Brett's Demon Cycle series, which I'm a huge fan of that series, all of his short stories are up on graphicaudio.net, and I'm looking forward to grabbing those and listening to them. I'm actually right now listening to Golgotha, the first book in the Six Gun Tarot series that they just released, actually, on graphicaudio.net. So we've talked in
Six Gun Tarot?
Uh-huh. It's a steampunk western type story.
It's a That's a great band name
Yes,
right
no.
there.
It's an awesome name, and I have meant to read that book forever too, and I just haven't gotten around to it. So they just released it over on this website. Now, if you're not into the science fiction and fantasy steampunk type stuff that I'm always recommending, if you happen to like westerns, they have a lot of westerns over there too. Kind of the criteria seems to be that they need kind of action-packed type stories. Most of the ones I've seen that I know what's going on in the story, they're very actiony, are the ones that they have adapted to their format. They actually, I think I heard them in the news recently because of the Ant-Man movie that's come out. They have Ant-Man, a standalone story in the Ant-Man universe that is out over there. They're starting to get into the graphic novels, it looks like. They've got Caitlin Kiernan's Cemetery Girl is also over in the Little Bites section. And right on their front page, they have a thing about Miss Marvel coming soon. So that's cool. I think that's cool. If you don't think you have time to sit down and read a graphic novel and you want someone to act it out in your ears, that seems like a pretty good idea. So I think they're pretty reasonably priced, at $13.99. I foresee myself throwing a lot more money at this website, because I was really impressed by the production values, the different actors that they have doing the characters. We've talked a lot about a similar sort of thing in We're Alive, where unlike a lot of podcasts that we've listened to, in We're Alive, they have a cast of actors who do all of the parts, and that was all cool and neat. We hadn't come across most of those in the podcast that we listened to. Well, if any of you have noticed, most of those podcasts are now going to pay for content, so they're not really free anymore. So you're still going to have to pay if you're going to listen to the new season of We're Alive. So you can go pay some money over at graphicaudio.net and get some of the books you've been meaning to read. But they're acted out in a very cool way. And the special effects are not intrusive at all. It flows really, really well. The production value is just really great. I was really impressed. And I really strongly suggest some of you go check it out. They've got a whole bunch of different books that are there, not just, like I said, westerns of all things. I was really surprised. I kept looking at the westerns going, are there werewolves in these westerns? Vampires? What's going on? No, they're westerns. They're westerns. I haven't looked at an actual just straight up western since I was a kid.
Well, you're from Texas. You should. It's almost like required reading, isn't it?
They actually didn't, probably because they thought that was probably the only book in our house was something by Louis L'Amour, which when I was a kid was true. There were a lot of Louis L'Amour books. So I can say that I've read some of those when I was a kid, but once I got a library card, I started checking out my own books. So I think that's cool. So it just doesn't, it's not just a one trick pony type of one genre type of store. They've got a whole bunch of different stuff going on. A lot of people that I have been meaning to read have books over there. So I was really impressed. I can't recommend City of the Lost by Stephen Blackmore enough on there. Like I said, it was his only book I hadn't read, and I really enjoyed it. And that is a very violent, very gritty noir story that really worked very well in this format. So I loved it. I've already downloaded a whole bunch more books that I've got on my phone. They have an app. The neat thing is, if you prefer listening to CDs, you can buy CDs from them as well. It's not just digital. They actually, and I believe at the moment, they're having a sale on a bunch of their CD sets. So if CDs are your thing, check them out. You might get a deal. They do several different audio formats depending on how high def you like your audio. So I'm okay with plain old MP3s. They have several different formats, but you can download your MP3s into their app. They have an Android app and an iOS app that will download your books from their cloud. The only thing is they don't have any sort of bookmarking ability in their app that I could find. It's just basically a straight player, but it does generally remember where you left off. I had a glitch in mine, and I'm not sure if it updated in the middle, but I had it start over once. But it was no big deal to scan through and find where I'd left off, because I basically binge listened to it over the course of 2 days. So great story, City of the Lost was. Really cool website that I'm really glad, in one of my brief visits to Twitter, that I saw a link to, because I thought that was pretty cool. GraphicAudio.net, a whole new way to listen to audiobooks. And they've got samples up so you can listen to them before you buy, to make sure, you know, it's not something that's going to instantly annoy you. But great production value. Just like they say, kind of a movie in your mind. I was really impressed. So I suggest all of you go check it out if audiobooks are even remotely your thing.
Sounds really cool. I would like to check out. I need to start working through the Blackmore catalog, it sounds like. So
I think you'll like his books. They're very noir-like, and they're very gritty, and they're pretty violent. Got a lot of, you know, that one deals with sort of a zombie. City of the Lost is kind of a zombie thing. The Eric Carter one, he's a necromancer, so you've got lots of nasty death and stuff going on. But I really love the Eric Carter series, and I was as equally impressed with this book as well. So
awesome. Cool. Definitely want to check that out. And that site was established after 1902, right? Just to clarify.
It was, unfortunately. Yeah, so. Yes.
Just always like to keep track. So figured out it's going to be pretty safe that
yes.
that wasn't going to challenge my oldest recommendation.
I think the MP3 thing gave it away, but that's
true.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is the Rosetta Stone. And no, it's not. I'm going to just keep going to double down, make sure I get the answer. It's in 3 languages. How can you not? No, we won't do the Rosetta Stone today. Actually, it's a newer recommendation. It's an app. It pains me to say this, but it's an app that, best I can tell, currently works a little more reliably on the iOS platform than the Android platform, but we'll talk about that in a second. But the app is called Periscope. And you remember in the olden times on ye olde Twitter, when if you were sitting on the couch, you could provide such key information to the world, such as, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm bored. Tweet. And you could put it out there for the world to consume.
Yes.
And that was clearly limiting. And so now we have Periscope. Well, rather than having to do all that arcane typing and words, you can simply live stream, I'm sitting here on my couch bored, and send it out to Twitter, and the whole world can see you sitting on your couch bored. Because Periscope is basically live video streaming on Twitter. It's a platform for live streaming, and then you can... It's associated with Twitter, and you can very easily throw a link out to Twitter for people to join your live stream and see it on. It is a broadcast. It includes a chat environment so that people can chat. There comes a cap to how many viewers can be chatting. It'll cap you. I don't know what the exact number is because I don't get anywhere close to it, but in the several hundreds before it caps off. And you can still join a broadcast that has capped out, but you can't chat. So it'll say the broadcast is too full. You can continue to watch the broadcast, but all the chat that you see kind of popping up, and they kind of pop up like text messages. You've got the video stream, and the chat window comes up. It comes up with your at handle, so people can kind of see who's there. Remarkably easy, because it's pretty much you start it and you're going. You can utilize the cameras forward-facing and rear-facing cameras and toggle back and forth. And it's new. It'll be interesting to see where it goes in terms of, so like Mel and I do all the stuff on a Google Hangout. That works out incredibly well for what we're trying to accomplish, and then be able to save it out on YouTube. Videos that you shoot on Periscope remain available for a certain period of time, and then they're kind of cleaned off the servers unless you end up saving it locally, and then you can do some things there. So it's not quite Snapchatty to where the which I still really, really, old man Kelly does not get Snapchat at all.
I don't either. I try. Yeah.
But it seems that's very temporal, and that's like, boom, it's there and it's gone, and people can do a screenshot. These are a little more persistent, that they'll stay around at least a week or two, as best I can tell. And it's just fascinating because it is somewhat new to kind of see people finding their way with it. Now, historically, there was at South by Southwest, not this past year, but a year back, there was, or maybe it was the last South by Southwest, Meerkat was the darling of South by Southwest. It was an app that was released at South by Southwest, and it was live video streaming on Twitter, and everybody was just going nuts about it. So Periscope eventually became kind of within the Twitterplex, their response to Meerkat, which for all intents and purposes is pretty much crushed Meerkat, because why not go with Periscope? It was originally only available on iOS like Meerkat. They corrected that fairly soon, although it's still a little sketchy on Android because I've done a couple. From what I can sense is when I'm actually live broadcasting, some people can see it and interact. I can't get the playback on it to work, and it seems that maybe, I don't know if it's Android or a Samsung deal, but mine still aren't quite exactly working. So it's a little sketchy if you're in the Android world on the situation, but they continue to provide updates to they're aware of it, and they're continuing to provide updates to the application. But it is a pretty cool thing. You've seen some really good examples and some really bad examples. Oh, I forgot to mention, all the cool kids that do it, they call themselves scopers, you know, because you're...
Scopers.
You know, any good scopers out there? So scope it. Do a little
scoping.
So if you want to... Yeah, so you can be a scoper. I'm not a scoper. I've tried Periscope a couple times. I'm at this point more on a consumption model of it, that I don't really have a lot of stuff I want to fire out. But it is kind of instant video. So somebody's at Disney World and they're doing the fireworks. They can fire up Periscope and you can watch the Disney fireworks show right there very, very easily. So a lot of kind of current, if there's any major event or if there's just something kind of interesting, you know, you can get that kind of live feed through Twitter. And so fairly recently, there was a fire that broke out at the Aria Hotel in Las Vegas. Has a outdoor pool deck with a series of palm trees around it, shockingly. And apparently those palm trees caught on fire pretty significantly. Mm-hmm. And so I saw a couple tweets about, hey, I think the Aria is on fire on Twitter. I said, well, that's interesting. And I said, I wonder. And I jumped over to Periscope, and after a try or two, there were about three different people who were scoping at different places in that area where you could basically get a live feed of an event. So that idea, the search capabilities, from what I've seen at least so far, are not real robust. It is based off of when you come in and sign up for it, you connect your Twitter account to it, and it then gives you within your Twitter, the people that are following you on Twitter, whoever else is on Periscope, it lists them for you. And you can go in and turn them on to choose to follow them or not. So it's very much the same model as Twitter, that you can follow people, and you'll be notified when there are people that you are following are active. Mm-hmm. And so you can go see it at that point in time. Or you can jump to a second option. So you've got kind of your network, and then there's the world, and that's just whatever is out there. And this is where, you know, I want to provide a cautionary note, is that there are many different applications of Periscope, and you should probably carefully read if you could be surprised sometimes at what you might stumble across, because there's some people that are really wanting to share interesting things from time to time. Mm. So it's not quite chat roulette in terms of what I see there. But if you work hard, I expect you could probably find a similar experience if you really wanted to. But it's just, it's current events, and then it's real interesting. Jim Gaffigan, I'm a big fan of the comedian Jim Gaffigan. His wife is she co-writes or helps write a lot of the material, and I believe she's his manager. She's integrally involved in the Jim Gaffigan empire. She is on this thing 7x24. She is constantly, here we are after the show, here we are doing this, and they have a bunch of kids that travel with them. It's like, I'm taking the kids down to the pool, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. And so you just kind of get like backstage of the Gaffigan tour, and you get to see lots of things. And she's very personable and nice, and it's just, you know, but it's her walking around, hey, we're doing this or that, and here I'm, they had a debate over step counting on fitness devices that she and Jim were having, and that was a recent scope, so that was fairly interesting to watch. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, also featured in Sharknado, right? Jericho was in Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
He is co-hosting the WWE, does a kind of talent, new talent type of thing, if you want to kind of be on there, their next their next star, kind of like Food Network competitions, but for wrestlers. Chris is one of the hosts, makes a lot of sense. He's very good on the mic. He's very very good speaker, does all that. But kind of like on breaks and coming in, he'll go live on Periscope. And so you're basically on the set of this show, and it's Jericho who's got his phone out, and he's doing the Periscope thing. So you can get to some pretty cool content. You can get to some not-so-cool content. You can play around with your followers a little bit and kind of get kind of tuned in to where you want to be. You can choose for the people you follow to be notified or not notified when they're broadcasting. But it's a pretty interesting thing. I think a lot of folks are, it's new. So trying to understand where is it a novelty? How does it fit in? We'll have to see. But I think for that idea of real-time live video, it's a pretty powerful thing from that perspective. Behind-the-scenes kind of stuff really seems to lend itself well for that if someone's predisposed to do that. Mm-hmm. I haven't utilized Meerkat to give you like a side-to-side, but it's this seems just a little bit like maybe VHS and Betamax for me at this point in time. It's like this one appears like it's going to have the market share, so I'm not sure how much I even want to bother with Meerkat. So.
Yeah. Well, there's another one that sort of sounds similar, but it doesn't have the Twitter integration is Hangwith, which is another live streaming type thing that's an app. But they don't have Twitter integration, I don't think. You might be able to send a message to Twitter when you go live, but I really haven't seen much on Twitter about Hangwith. But if you participated in the Con Man Indiegogo, Alan Tudyk's web series that they're doing, they do a lot of their stuff on Hangwith, which I think all of the fans that came in to Hangwith from that kind of overloaded their servers, so they had some trouble. But I think they've got all that ironed out now. But yeah, that's another one. But like I said, doesn't have the Twitter integration, so they really need to do that. It sounds like this one that's much newer is blowing everybody out of the water with working with Twitter well.
It seems to connect extremely well, and that's a great way to kind of notify, because I mean, if you're running the app, you get those notifications, but when you kind of bundle that with the Twitter feed where you're already, I'm interested in what this person has to say and staying right. connected, it becomes a really powerful thing. Now, me as a producer of content for Periscope, I'm a little hard-pressed. There's not a lot at this point in time that I'm like, oh, this will be great. But, you know, on a vacation or some things like that, there could, you know, just be a kind of a certain moment where it's like, this might be interesting to somebody and kind of run it. But if nothing else, from the consumption side, it's definitely worth a look. Even if you don't plan to put anything out, pull down the app, connect up with some of your buddies on Twitter, you know, do the follow there, and then just kind of poke around on it a little bit, and you'll see some pretty interesting things. Like I said, I think the behind the scenes kind of stuff is really cool. So
yeah. So have you noticed? Is there a limit on these streams? I mean, do they have to be short, like 5 or 10 minutes, or are people going on for quite a while?
I haven't. I have seen people go on for quite a while. So okay. I don't know if there's an upper. I expect at some point there's an upper limit to where it stops. I don't think you could set up your Periscope and just let it run 7x24 and say here's my room. The upper end, I mean, and it's weird because if you jump into some of these things, like the Jericho one tonight for the wrestling deal, the notification came up. I think I saw it fairly close to when the notification came up. I jumped in, and I mean, there were already 3,000 people watching it, you know, and it was just like in a moment's notice. And so it doesn't seem to, on the viewer side, have much of a scale issue right now. And on the lengthwise, I'll have to dig in a little bit and see, but I've not seen, but it's, I mean, they're not short. Most of the ones, it all depends on what you're filming. But a lot of times if it's a Disney parade, you see the whole parade, you can sit there and watch that. And so it's an interesting thing. I think it'll be fun to watch to see, where it comes into play. But I just think for just current events and just kind of sometimes, you know, someone got a front row seat, you didn't, but you might be able to benefit from it. Of course, one of the places they get a little sketchy right now is concerts and those types of things. And,
and that can be a problem.
And I've seen plenty of that, you know, YouTube's playing now, or Florence and the Machine was playing up at Lollapalooza up here in Chicago. And someone was scoping their most of her set. And, you know, you're going to get what you get. It's somebody with a phone shooting video, and so might be okay, might not be okay. So.
Yeah.
But kind of a fun one, worth a look.
Yeah, I'd seen it mentioned, but I really didn't know what it was. I'm not one of the cool kids.
You could scope your cats, your kittens. You could have the kittens. Here's what the kittens are doing today. Yeah. Here's the wall they're climbing up.
Yeah, they've progressed from climbing the curtains to actually climbing the drywall today. That was a new trick.
Oh.
Three kittens will drive you insane, people. Absolutely insane.
You posted a nice photo of one of them mid-curtain crawl, looking at you like, what?
He's like, yeah, no, they don't think there's any problem whatsoever. Why should I possibly have a problem that they're climbing up the curtains? Her brother was over climbing the actual wall, and their nails are trimmed. I'm like, I don't know what you're using to dig into the wall, but this has got to stop. Anyway, yes. I don't know what I was thinking, y'all. I'm insane. Three kittens. Oh, my God. But that's okay. We'll survive, maybe, somehow. With the help of my graphic audio books, I will just put my headphones on and ignore the sounds of the cats ripping the curtains down and climbing the walls. So.
Yeah, and that'd be another good Periscope, though. Yeah. I think it'd really be pretty awesome.
I'll have to check the app out. I'm low on space on my phone. Is it a very big app? Did you notice?
It's not a killer. It's not light. It's probably more of a mid-range in terms of size. But yeah, I've been kind of at the same place, and I'm having to make hard app decisions at this point in time, because it's like, well, Tiny Death Star's on the bubble, man. It's gonna probably have to go because I don't really play it that much anymore, and it's even though I've got it on the SD card, but I have to go.
I'm still playing my Fallout Shelter, everybody.
I have that on my iPad, raring to go. And it's another, and I ran out of space on my iPad, so now I had to do some stuff over there.
Yeah.
So
I'm having that problem on both of mine. So anyway, that's the new state of the world, y'all. If it's worth deleting a beloved app to try out your new app, this is the questions we have to ask ourselves.
Yes. So, social media corner for this week, I'm going to recommend, I'm going to consider this a social media recommendation because it wasn't enough to be a full recommendation. It's a video. And so I am going to say it's a social media recommendation. It was published by Mashable today, and it's a how-to video for you to, show holograms on your phone. And it's really cool. T. Scott Braveboy actually shared it on Facebook is where I came across it. And I was like, so I originally thought, okay, I'm going to click on this and I'm going to see Rick Astley and I'm going to get Rickrolled. And this had all the markings of Rickroll. But no, indeed, it's a really cool video where they kind of step you through the process where you take basically a piece of clear, hard plastic, what many of them, there are multiple videos out there. We'll share the Mashable one, but there are several of them out there. And you cut a series of trapezoids, so triangles, and you kind of clip the top off of one of the triangles, and they give you all the dimensions for it. And you basically create a kind of a flat top pyramid. So you've got the regular pyramid base as it goes up. Maybe about the last fourth of the pyramid has been cut off. So you have two squares, the top where you've made that top cut and the bottom. You flip it over so that the narrow side is on your phone. And then you go to YouTube and you find any one of these hologram videos because you cut out of this hard plastic like a CD case, these four pieces to create your little clear pyramid, flip it over, and then there are any number of videos on YouTube that have this kind of the source imagery you need. And you put the phone in a fairly dark room, and you set that little pyramid upside down on top of it. They give you a little kind of a centering X to kind of get it squared up to where it needs to be. You turn the lights off, and you see a frickin' 3D hologram that looks really, really good.
Cool.
So it's kind of fun stuff. So that might be a project for tonight. I've been looking at it pretty quick.
So if we lined up a whole bunch of phones, we could get that holographic chess set from Star Wars?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you could do. Because it looks actually really, really cool. And there's, like I said, the Mashable one's the one we'll share. It'll be the social media rec. But There are a number of ones out there, and the Mashable one says cut it out of a CD case. There's other videos recommend other types of plastics that are a little bit easier to cut than a CD case. Mashable had you use just Scotch tape to actually do the seams and then flip it. Another one had you kind of use some tape to hold it in place, but then use super glue on just the corners to get it sealed, and then you have kind of cleaner surfaces. So you got a couple options to do that. But it looks really good, and the videos they showed, you know, and there were enough of them that I saw from enough different sources that I said, if someone's pulling a fast one on me here, they've put in a huge amount of effort at this point in time. But it looks to me legit, and like I said, there are just all sorts of pretty cool videos out there where you can do that. So nice little fun little project, and maybe one day if I make it, we'll shoot I'll periscope some footage of it. Well, I can't do that because I'm using this is getting hard.
Well, you'll have to put periscope over on your iPad and film it with your iPad.
Yeah, where it'll actually work a little better. So that's not a bad idea. So, okay, cool. No pressure, Mel, but do you have a recommendation for this week?
No. Okay. Sorry. I forgot.
Well,
again.
No problem. Well, speaking of someone we would never recommend for social media or anything else, we're going to turn it over to Matt, who will give you all the information on how you can connect to us through email, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes. If it's on iTunes, please write a review. We'd really appreciate it. Our website, YouTube, many, many different ways for you to get your nurture and support stuff. And thanks to everybody who watched our special edition Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf. We've got a decent number of views on that video, so that's really cool. And thanks for watching that, folks. And we'll be back next week.
Yep. Night, everybody.
Night.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Tool.
Nurturing and supporting. Terminated.